This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to your window into the meaningful impact being made across the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. I'm your host, Marion Green, and I invite you to join me as I talk with inspiring guests and explore how the Catholic Development Fund creates ripple results. Today I'm joined by the lovely Kirsty Muir, who is responsible for events and communications at the Hamilton Diocese, a role that sits within the pastoral team based at the Chanel Centre. Welcome, Kirsty.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Kirsty, as you know, this podcast is brought to you by the CDF, where we would like to give our listeners an insight into the ways that the CDF financially supports the bishop and therefore the pastoral team, and how this translates into ripple results within the Hamilton Diocese. And of course, your role sits in that pastoral team space. I'm keen to explore your role and what it entails, but before we unpack that, it would be great to learn a bit more about you, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Great. So I know you're a mother of three young adults and that you're based at Mount Maunganui in the sunny Bay of Plenty, you lucky thing. Is that where you were raised and educated?
So I was raised in Thames, born in Thames. I went to St. Francis School, the primary school there. That's where we went to church as well. We're part of the parish. I could see our parish church from my bedroom window, just down the road. Very lovely. So, yes, went to school there. My mother was a practicing Catholic. She was very involved in the school and in the church. And then I went on to Sacred Heart in Hamilton. I boarded there for 2 years for Form 3 and 4, year 9 and 10. And then I went back to the local Thames High School. Went and did things for a little while and then ended up working in my parents' business. And ended up buying into that, Apparel Master. And eventually, probably 17 and a half years ago, moved to the Mount, just before I had my first child.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
So you boarded in the New Frazee House?
Yes, which is very
fascinating
to know that that's when we'll end up working.
Yeah, you could always be in your old bedroom. Who knows? Or the dining room or somewhere like that. That's very cool. And so you live at the Mount, but you commute over to Hamilton. I know that we see your lovely smiley face every Tuesday and sometimes more.
Sometimes more, yes. If there's an event on, I will be there. And yes, so for the other time, I either work from home or the lovely ladies at the parish, I belong to a parish of All Saints by the Sea. And the church there, St. Thomas More, I have a little desk space there that I work out of as well. Yes.
Been to that church many times when I've been holidaying at the Mount over the years with my parents. That's great. And so your professional background, you've touched on that. You went to work in the family business and then you bought into the family business.
Bought into the family business, yes. So we had a branch down on the Mount at that point. And we knew, obviously, that's where the growth would be. So I was manager of the plant up in Thames. And then when we came down here, ended up being financial controller, looking after the HR, health and safety, all the real fun stuff.
Oh, wow. Yes. And was that your siblings as well brought into it and your parents retired? Or
just myself. My dad was still very active in the business, as was my mother. She started to slow down a bit. They eventually also moved down. And about 3 months after they moved down, unfortunately, my dad got sick and passed away 15 months later.
Oh.
Yeah, so that led to us selling the business in about 2015, but I was lucky enough to continue working for the new owners.
Oh, fabulous. So you're well-versed in the trade and in all the background stuff as well. They would, you have been a big asset to them, I'm sure. So then how do we go from there to your role at the diocese?
Absolutely. After I left Sacred Heart, my mother had stopped practicing and her faith, stopped going to church, I should say, and so I had naturally as well. When I had my children, I knew I wanted them to go to Catholic schools. I had two boys at that point, so I wanted to get them baptised, and I thought if I was getting them baptised, I should really start going to Mass on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very lucky. Bishop Michael Geelan, who's now Bishop of Christchurch, was actually the parish priest at St. Thomas More at that time, and his father a deacon, and I walked in and, just blown away by the experience that I had. So I ended up going back to church slowly. I also had my daughter. She was baptized just before I had her. I ended up being confirmed as well. And slowly the journey went on, and I ended up volunteering in a ministerial role in that church. More and more, I helped run the youth group there, helped with the social media pages, in a sacristan role, I guess. And from there, just more and more involved in church life. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the role of events coordinator come up at, I think it was at the beginning of 2023, I thought, well, I'll reach out and apply, even though I'm not based in Hamilton, and just see what happens if they're happy to have someone that was a bit more remote.
Fabulous. Yes. So you applied and obviously got the role.
Applied and got the role.
Fabulous. Yes. And have you found that the role is using your skills or extending your skills, would you say?
I would say extending my skills. Probably some things I'm not using the same, but mm-hmm. I can use kind of what I have learned and apply it into the events, especially when it comes to budgeting for an event. You know, that's just second nature to me.
Yeah, and if you're the mother of three young adults, you'll be used to budgeting.
Absolutely.
I hear you on that one. So let's delve a bit deeper into your role. I see that it's a varied role within the events and communications space for the diocese. So how do you divide your time between those two events and communications?
That's a wonderful question. Sometimes I think I might do it poorly. But quite often what happens is it does complement itself. So, for instance, in the communications role, I'm editor for our magazine. We send out a monthly online newsletter. I look after the social media pages. So when I go from events, you know, it becomes more natural to be able to write about those. So it complements itself very, very nicely. Obviously, with the magazine, I'm sort of wrapped around the deadlines for when we go to print. So I know I have to work towards those. Our online newsletter, obviously, is at the end of the month. I have to work to that. Yeah. The events we tend to plan out, I mean, we try to plan them, I guess, a year in advance. But if we hear of a speaker that's coming to the country or anything like that, sometimes that's a bit more last minute.
You have to kind of seize the moment and
absolutely
work around that.
Yeah.
Okay, so just go back a step for me. The magazine.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
The Kete Kōrero. So when I came and started working in the diocese in 2023, the last two editions for that year, I jumped on as assistant editor, not really knowing too much what I was doing. I was given, we had young students out from Vietnam who are now in the seminary. They had come over to learn English with also the chance to discern their vocation to the priesthood. So I went and interviewed them, wrote the article, submitted it to the editor, and sort of kind of involved just so I could kind of see what was happening and what have you. And from there, took over as editor in 2024. So I will deal with our lovely sponsors for that magazine.
Sometimes that's the CDF?
Absolutely.
Giving it a plug there.
Very, very generous sponsor of the Kiwi. I will edit articles that are sent. I have to be quite proactive sometimes at going out and getting those articles. And again, going to events obviously helps. And I think the more that we include of the stories of the people around the diocese, the more people want to be in that magazine. So they will contact me and ask to be in there.
And so people from various parishes, I imagine, would maybe have an interesting article or something interesting about a person that they want you to maybe, you know,
yes. So it might be, a person might have received a papal award, or the parish might have celebrated a big jubilee. Yeah, so I'm going to one at the end of November where they're celebrating 100 years in their parish. So things like that. Schools as well. We've got a great article coming up in the next one about some digital artwork on the saints that one of our schools has done. So we've included that.
Oh, fabulous. And so how many times a year does the magazine publish?
So in 2024, we did four editions. We have trialled this year doing three editions, and it has worked quite well. So I would imagine that's what we will continue to do next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And where can people find the magazine?
So we send it out to all of our parishes. So generally in a church foyer, if there's a church in our diocese, you'll find a magazine in the foyer there. In the middle of the year, we do send them to some of our schools. So it might be that a school child will take it home for their parents. We send it out to their sponsors, so if they had a foyer reception area, you might find it there. You can also find it online on our website. We normally publish it online a couple of weeks after it's gone out in hard copy.
Right, so that's www.cdh.org.nz.
That's the one.
Perfect. Yes, I can confirm for the listeners that the magazine is a great read, and I'm always impressed by the presentation. As a sponsor, of course, I like to, or I need to be discerning as to how my sponsorship money is being used. In fact, I had a lady come into the Chanel Centre when the last issue was on the coffee table, and she was so impressed by the cover photo that she said she was going to take it home and frame it.
Oh, that's wonderful feedback. Yeah, that's
she was
lovely.
Delighted. So I very quickly encouraged her to also flip it to the back page where the CDF had a full page ad, never missing an opportunity to market. So that's the magazine. And so what about a little bit about some kind of events that you've been involved in this year?
Yep. So this year, so we've just come off our family weekend. We had that in Rotorua. We had about 27 families come from around the diocese. So what that looks like is a pretty casual dinner on the Friday night. Families, some families can make it, then some obviously travelling, they can't. We will help them out with accommodation costs. We try and keep the registration fee as low as possible. On the Saturday, it'll be a whole lot of stuff happening, whether that's adoration and confession for the families. We'll have breakout sessions, so the parents will go off with someone and they'll listen to them speak. And while that's going on, we've got the kids doing activities. We'll base it around a theme, and whatever that theme is what the breakout sessions will be about. There's also lots of fun to be had, whether it's sharing a meal together, or we were actually lucky enough to use a great location this year where we could have use of the pool, playgrounds, bouncy castles. So,
yeah, so very much for the whole family.
For the whole family.
And so who does the catering? Does someone else do that, or the families chip in and do it?
We get food in, but definitely I've noticed in the past that families are more than happy to jump in and help serve, clean up. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels a bit kind of weird when you're a mum and you go to something like that and you don't have to do anything. You sort of feel like you have to grab a tea towel or, wipe down the tables or...
Which is why we always have a mum's wine night on the Saturday night. So the dads are in charge. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea.
But it's really important too. You know, some of these kids, even if they're only 5 years old, they might end up at university with a family that they met at family weekend. So having those connections is really important.
Yeah, building
friendships. Yeah, and to see other families doing the same things that their family does.
Yeah, and I guess if these kids come from around the diocese, they could end up at high school together, couldn't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
From a feeder primary school. Okay, so that's family weekend. Yes. Anything else? Any other good ones?
And this year, the Jubilee Year of Hope, we had our big event, which was, again, organised actually in Rotorua. We had a big Pentecost mass. So I went, I'm not the photographer for the diocese, very amateur, but ended up taking some photos for that, and so we could use them in our social media and just to capture the event. It was every nationality you could imagine were there celebrating this Pentecost Mass. It was really, really beautiful.
Down in Rotorua?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Are you finding Rotorua is quite a good central
hub? It is very central. It does seem to be very central, yes.
I know they've got two great churches down there and a wonderful... priest currently.
Our parish priest, yes, he's very accommodating too. Yeah.
Very, very supportive indeed. And were you involved in any way in the community dinner? I've heard a bit about that.
The community dinner? No, that's more the youth office. Okay. Yeah. So hopefully you'll get to speak to them, I assume.
Yes, I have had Jill on. I'm going to have Jill on the podcast to tell me all about that. Oh, so when
wonderful.
She gets back, yes. So lots going on in the diocese that people should be aware of.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got, you've talked about the magazine and these couple of events, but let's go back to the communication space because you mentioned monthly newsletter.
Yes.
So who does that go to?
Basically anybody who's signed up to this monthly newsletter. It is growing. It is a reasonably new thing that's happening. We have, again, stories from around our parishes, upcoming events. Sometimes I chuck in a quiz just for a bit of fun. So the best place to find anything, really, any links to anything, would be on our website, cdh.org.nz.
And what sort of drop-down box do they go to from there?
If they pop into events and news, they'll be able to very clearly click on our communications platform box.
Okay, so anyone from any parish can sign up to receive that newsletter?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And you mail it out once a month?
Once a month. It will drop down into their mailbox. Yep, and we will generally post the link on social media. And the beauty of this is they're all effectively separate little articles with their own URL code. So if somebody says, oh, hey, my child goes to that school and that was featured in that newsletter, they can just pick that article up and share it.
All right. Mm. So it takes away the old, process of you had to flick through the newspaper or the publication to find the one you're interested in.
Yeah,
it's quite quick.
Yeah, we have little tags on the side. So it might be vocations or bishop or mass, homily, anything. They can just click on that and find articles that are relative to that.
Oh, fantastic.
Topic.
So also you mentioned snippets.
Snippets.
What happens with that?
Snippets is something that we send to our parish secretaries, some of our parish priests as well, every week. For instance, today we just got something on the World Day for Prayer for the Poor. So we will include something that the parishes can include in their parish newsletter, just to help them make sure that they've got what they need to share. Other parishes will give me things so that, especially in Hamilton, everyone's so close. So if they're having an event, they'll ask us to share it.
Okay, so if you've got a parishioner out there who, let's say they're from Hamilton,
yes,
they can look on there and see that there is an event like the Pentecost Mass you mentioned in Rotorua,
yes,
if they're keen to travel down, or even in just within another parish in Hamilton.
Yeah.
I know that there was one parish doing a fundraiser recently for a new roof. We love to see it. Okay, and what would you say to me if I asked you, what do you love the most about your role?
It's such a blessing to be able to work and obviously put food on my table while working for the Lord. And that's such a blessing. And the other thing is the people. The amount of people that I come in contact with on a daily basis. And especially too, if there's been something in our magazine, for instance, a pilgrimage that I went on earlier in the year, I shared that story and then I had someone email me in and say, they read it to their mother, because she can no longer read, but they read it to their mother, and the mother replied it made her feel homesick for this pilgrimage place. And it's those sorts of things when you realise that you're actually connecting to people. I had someone else share with me, something really beautiful from their past about their discernment to their vocation. They said, we haven't shared that with many people, but there was something that you wrote or something that you shared that really touched me and I wanted to share back with you.
And that's the real ripple results we're talking about. People invest money with the CDF. That enables the CDF to make an annual distribution to the bishop, which helps fund your team. And there you go, it's spreading, the ripples of faith and hope around the whole diocese.
Yep.
That's what we're so proud of.
Absolutely. It's really beautiful.
Mm. Yep. So also, I was impressed there that you mentioned about the Jubilee Year of Hope.
Yes.
Okay, so for people who don't know anything much about that, Jubilees are every 25 years.
25
years,
yes.
Okay.
And they're called like the ordinary Jubilee years.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one in 2016, which was an extraordinary year of Jubilee. It was the Year of Mercy. So, generally 25 years. And it's a real chance for effectively spiritual renewal. If you went back to the Old Testament where they talked about the Jubilee year, it was a time to free slaves, repay debts. Whereas now we're talking about that real renewal within yourself.
Okay, and so this is an exceptional year?
This is an ordinary year.
And the theme is hope.
Hope, yes.
So where does that theme come from? Is that decided in the Vatican?
In the Vatican, effectively from the Pope, who makes that final decision.
Okay.
Yes. So hope does not disappoint.
That's the message.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is great to see. I have, sadly it's been funeral services, but I've watched some online of overseas relatives, and lovely to see the same banner at the back of their altar that we see here.
Yes.
And it makes you feel that whole you know, universal connection with other Catholics.
We're one people. Yes. One church. Yes.
Yeah. And that message has come from Pope Leo. It would have been Pope Francis.
Pope Francis.
Pope Francis. Yeah. Okay. Supported now by, yes, by Pope, yeah, Leo, no doubt. And, you know, everyone coming together for the same purpose, yes, is, it's really powerful.
It really is. Yep.
Yeah.
Especially when you see the thousands of people that pack into that square when there's, you know, an audience of the Pope or the canonisation of St. Carlo and Pier. It's, yeah, thousands.
Oh, I know. I went to Vatican Square in 1998, and it was just by sheer chance that the Pope was addressing the crowd that day. It was amazingly hot, but no one cared.
No.
And he came out. You know, he was really a dot in the distance, but to hear his voice, you know, just felt so privileged.
What year was that?
1998.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Didn't have phones then, so we had a little video camera that we recorded it on. And I went back there last year, and he was away on his summer holiday, but even then it was quite crowded, you know, and the queues to get into the chapel and stuff is just... Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been Pope Francis.
It was Pope Francis, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I was really hoping that he would be out and about, you know, because he wasn't well at that stage, so we kind of knew it wouldn't be forever. But no, he was away at his summer house.
Oh, lovely.
I know.
The other fantastic thing that came from the Year of Mercy in 2016, the Pope instituted what's called these Missionaries of Mercy. And while in 2016 we didn't have this priest working in our diocese, he was in Australia at the time, he wanted to become one of these missionaries of mercy. And we're very lucky now that he is actually in our diocese, that's Father Richard Shortall. So, Jesuit priest, he's been travelling around our diocese this year, and to date he's actually sat in 26 of our churches and listened to 254 individual stories. So people just come and share. They'll tick a slot for 30 minutes and just come and share their story. And just that apostolate of the ear, that listening, that people really crave.
Mm. So to find out where he is at any given time?
CDH.org.nz. If you go /Jubilee2025, you will find that. He's got the Te Awamutu cluster in another week. And I'm assuming by the time this podcast comes out, they might actually still catch the Hamilton cluster. Yeah, that's in, I think, the second week of December.
Okay. So it ends at the end of December?
Yes. Although there is talk about this being repeated, maybe in another couple of years. That'd be exciting.
Yes, it would be exciting. Okay. So your work crosses into your faith, and then you've got your events crossing into your... communications. So do you feel that this is where you are meant to be, working in this role?
I don't doubt it for a second. Yep. A lot of prayer. Yep. And I remember, especially too, when the job did come up, there was a lot of prayer that went around that, and it just continues every day. When I say without a doubt, there are times where I'm, you know, constantly checking and constantly praying with the Holy Spirit, am I on the right track? Am I doing the right thing? Because there are, I mean, obviously it's natural to have that little bit of doubt. But I'll very quickly kind of get steered in that you're doing the right thing direction.
Because you, by the sounds of it, you've got to be across, you know, everything that's going on in the diocese. And we're a big diocese. We're a...
Regionally, yes.
Geographically, you know, widespread. And so you've got to keep your finger on the pulse and make yourself known, I suppose, so people know to come to you and tell you, hey, Kirstie, this is happening or that's happening.
And that's, what I really want is to make myself available for people to come to me, reach out.
Yeah, and if we can tell Kirstie about this and it'll get put out to the rest of the...
I mean, I am human.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure are. Human, Kirsty, we love having you on board at the CDF. I have worked at the diocese for 5 years, and so I've watched these people come in, because now your team is, you're from the Mount,
yes.
Joanna's from the Mount, Alison's from Taupo, so, you know, we don't get you all the time in our little office, but we get you once a week, and we really enjoy hearing about what you guys have been up to, because, you know, my role's desk-based, basically, and so a lot of other roles. But you guys are out there, you know, touching and doing things, and we love to hear the feedback and what people are enjoying, what's going on, the success stories.
And it's quite good too, because you're literally, I mean, when I'm in the parish office, I'll go for morning tea, and there's this same crowd every day that have this coffee. They will go to Mass, they say the rosary, and then they sit there and they have a little coffee afterwards. So you're kind of getting the instant feedback constantly of what people might need, that feedback of, you know, what you're producing, have they heard about different events, you know, you can kind of figure that out from the different people in the diocese. Mm. It's not just central Hamilton based.
Oh, that's right. I mean, it would be very easy for us to think that Hamilton was the be all and the end all, but, you know, the Tron is not the centre of the universe. So, do you have a little highlight you could just share for us?
From this year?
From this year, yeah.
It would have to be my own personal pilgrimage that I made this year. I went to Medjugorje. I was very blessed to be invited to go. And, you know, we talked about in the Jubilee year that spiritual renewal, and that's what that pilgrimage gave to me through this year.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I know. I believe we've got the leader of that pilgrimage coming on to talk to us a bit more detail.
Well,
about
I'm sure
it.
She'll share more about that.
Yes, we might
special
have to
place.
Get, might have to get you on with her so you can tell it from two different perspectives.
You might not get to even ask any questions.
I think that's wonderful. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me today, Kirsty, and for giving the listeners such a great insight into your super diverse role, which the CDF is delighted to support. Communication, such an integral part of life, and especially important in our geographically spread diocese. And you're doing a wonderful job. Keep up the good work and go well.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Ripple Results. Catch us next time when I will be talking with another inspirational guest about their role and aspirations made possible by the Catholic Development Fund. You can find us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and if you wish to contact us, you can go to www.cdfhamilton.org.nz or give us a call on 07 8566 989.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.